One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm David Poore here with Keith Parrish for a fun summer podcast. Before we start, don't forget you can get this pod without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Keith, over at The Athletic last week, we published something, I mean, you know, one of these huge articles where 30 writers kind of tap in, and it was a fascinating topic that I thought was perfect for a Daily Ding, and you were my first choice to go over this topic because we love to talk about expectations, and in particular, when those expectations are the bare minimum. And so here's what we got. We have our top five players with something to prove this season. These are guys who, for various reasons, just haven't shown, you know, haven't lived up to the promise, the expectations, Keith. These are guys, would you say, especially last season, had very disappointing years.
Yeah, these are guys who maybe they've shown us something. They've enticed us a little bit, and we think, all right, you know what? It's kind of a make or break. It feels like a make or break to us. And so, like, you asked me to come up with my list, and like, we had such a good crossover of similarities. I think this is definitive. Like, you and I, we've decided these are the guys that have the most to prove in the upcoming season.
And unlike most lists of this nature, we're actually going to start at the top. And I think that the number one guy with something to prove this season is Ben Simmons.
Got him.
This situation, obviously, in Philadelphia was so acrimonious. And now there's this whole settlement of his contract. He missed the entire season. And apparently, he was pump faking the Nets the whole time. He was there on will he play, won't he play, you know, didn't leave the group chat. But clearly there were issues, and they all seem to be kind of off court. And of course the back issue, right? He's had some injuries, and we don't know what he's going to look like post back surgery. Keith, Ben Simmons at his peak, at his best. This is an all-star player. This is a defensive player of the year guy. This is an offensive force in transition. We need to see it.
Yeah, you say at his best. I'd say even at his worst, at his most famous passing up the layup in that rough series against the Hawks. In that series, he was 62% on field goals. He averaged like 15, 8, and 8. Like, the guy is unique and creative and interesting. And doing this exercise, it's obvious. He for whatever reasons, he didn't play last year. And now it's like, all right, Durant made up with the ownership in the front office, and you got to assume them getting on the same page, this partnership with him and you know, Durant, and then the front office, and then Kyrie, and then Ben Simmons is a huge piece of it. Can this guy give us anything? Like, if Ben Simmons doesn't show up and give us glimpses of the things we've seen in the past, like, where do you go from here with this guy, with his career? So yeah, absolute easy, the guy with the most to prove.
Even with Brooklyn keeping Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons is still the most important piece to that equation because of his defense, his versatility, his ability to protect the rim, guard on the wing. And of course, I also think on the offensive end, getting easy buckets for that team in transition, creating stuff with all that shooting they've got, Patty Mills flying up and down the court, Seth Curry, you can see where he could really be a game changer, a guy who could put them in the conversation for a home court advantage in the playoffs.
On paper, absolutely the most ideal fit to have this guy, even if he's hesitant to shoot. You got Kyrie and KD, and then Seth Curry and Joe Harris, and like, Cam Thomas ain't gonna be shy. Just pass it to Cam Thomas. Like, it's a perfect fit on paper. We gotta get it off the paper. We gotta see it.
All right, our second guy on the list, and another huge name. We haven't seen him a lot in his career, Keith. Zion Williamson, hopefully gonna come back, have a healthy season, signed a huge extension. Which, you know, it's all positive thinking. So what do we want to see from Zion? Is it just being on the court for 65 games, 70 games?
Yes. Or it's literally, Dave, just playing basketball.
When he's been out
every
there,
time he's been on the court, it's been awesome. And we're not going to focus just on guys coming back from injury, but just using this exercise, who has something to prove? Zion Williamson, prove to us that you're healthy and you're ready to play. You're prepared to play. Even last year, I don't know whose fault it was. We were misled. The public was misled. The Pelicans fans were not given accurate information about when he would play, when he would return, and he ends up missing the whole year. I guess they make up. You get the contract. Now you have the contract. You have that comfort and that commitment. And now prove it to us, Zion. Show us the highlights once again. Just play basketball.
And he should elevate this team that we all fell in love with, man. I mean, this is a team that defends. They've got good offense. I mean, well, okay offense. It should get better with Zion. They could be incredible. They are essentially adding a top-tier free agent, you know, if you want to just break it down into a weird way. They are adding him to a team that was a playoff team. I mean, they were pretty good.
What did they start? Like 4-16 or something? They were one of the worst starts ever to make the playoffs. And they got CJ McCollum. They had the Herb Jones breakout. You got Trey Murphy looking awesome at the end of the year, looking awesome in the summer league again. Plus all-star Brandon Ingram. You got Jonas Valanciunas. All of a sudden, if Zion Williamson comes back, this is this dynamic, exciting squad. But like, again, prove it to me, Zion. Like, this is make or break. If he doesn't play 60 games this year, or if he misses half the season, or just like, for me, what do you do with that now? If he's the Pelicans, what do you do? Like, it's kind of dire to think about if he's not ready to go. I think he's going to be, and this is one of the most exciting storylines, but I think it still fits. Zion Williamson has got to prove it to us.
Next on the list, Sacramento Kings. I mean, De'Aaron Fox has had a rough run of it. He plays for the Kings. They're not very good. But, Keith, we haven't seen him take the leap that we've seen out of guys like Ja. Jalen Brunson, even. You know, I think that this the reason he's on the list so high for me is because I've been anticipating the leap, and it just hasn't come.
Right. He's a hard one to judge because he's put up a bunch of stats. It just, you know, you don't know where chicken or the egg. Is it the Kings? You know, like, is it the organization? Is it just the teammates he's had? He's had some great stretches. He's had moments a couple years ago where I remember taking heat comparing him to Ja Morant, where I'm like Ja Morant is more exciting, but like De'Aaron Fox has similar production. Why not De'Aaron Fox? And then, of course, Ja takes another leap last year, and De'Aaron Fox, it's just the same repeat of the Kings disappointing. And he's a guy with this massive contract. They trade away Tyrese Haliburton for, I guess, to let him cook a little bit. And he has put up, you know, he's put up these numbers, and then, like, Kings optimists look at the end of last year, and they're like, hey, man, look at that pick-and-roll numbers with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. And it's like, yeah, like, that's the dream, that's the ideal, but also, don't talk to us about March stats when you're eliminated, or April stats when you're eliminated. Like, we need to see this guy on day one. We need to see this Kings team that hopefully can get in that play-in talk, can be in that playoff push. And I think a lot of it falls on the shoulders of the point guard, or the leader, De'Aaron Fox.
I like Malik Monk as much as anybody, and maybe even more than most. And when you're excited that Malik Monk can come in and take some of the scoring load off your best player, or theoretically your best player, I think there's a red flag there. Let's see what Mike Brown can do on the defensive end for this team, because that actually, they get no help on that end, right? So can De'Aaron Fox be a better defender? If so, maybe the leap not coming doesn't feel as bad, right? Like, if he's not giving up so much on the other end, maybe what he gives you on the offensive end feels a little bit more valuable. I'm not sure.
And maybe there's a redistribution of just those counting stats. Maybe this guy doesn't need to score 25 points per game. Maybe a better De'Aaron Fox is like, you know, I don't know if it's in the cards for him, but what if he scores 18 and has eight assists or something? Like, what if he's setting these guys up? I mean, there is talent on this roster right now. Like, maybe not elite win a playoff series talent, but like, you got Domantas Sabonis, you got Kevin Herter, you got Malik Monk, you got Harrison Barnes, still very, very consistent. You drafted Keegan Murray, who we know can put the ball in the hole. So like, the tools are there. Can De'Aaron Fox be this guy who is just leading a team that's actually winning basketball games? I think he can. I think the Kings, like, as I look at this roster, I get kind of excited. I get optimistic. And I think, you know, if De'Aaron Fox can be that leader, can be a point guard that prioritizes winning, not saying he hasn't prioritized winning, but like, maybe there's a way that this guy can prove to skeptics and say, no, man, like, I'm legit. I should be an all-star. I'm on the same tier as some of these other guys.
Next up on our list, Keith, at Number four, D'Angelo Russell. He finally has a plus defensive big behind him in Minnesota. You know, he had that with Jared Allen in Brooklyn. Had a lot of success there as a lob tosser, which Rudy Gobert is fantastic at. He's got Anthony Edwards playing next to him. Karl Anthony Towns. He has all of the pieces around him. He's a fantastic passer. Very creative passer. Keith, we need to see D'Angelo Russell show that he can play winning basketball. That's it.
Our last images of D'Angelo Russell last year were being on the bench in the closing time of game six as the Timberwolves got eliminated by the Grizzlies. And now you come back a year later, you've added Gobert. This team is all in. Everyone is anticipating a leap from Anthony Edwards. There are no more things to be added, I think, to this Timberwolves team. Like, D'Angelo Russell, you have no more excuses. You have, like you said, that backline defender. You add an all-NBA player in Gobert. And when Ant makes that leap, and you got Karl-Anthony Towns, one of the best shooting big men ever, they got rid of Patrick Beverley, who was credited with some of that turnaround for the Timberwolves and then playing some better defense. And we cannot have a D'Angelo Russell where Chris Finch is thinking, should Jordan McLaughlin close this game for us? You know, like, this is – D'Angelo Russell has made an all-star game, and he has to be able to combine his awesome offensive talents with a winning brand of basketball. The Timberwolves, I think – they need to be able to depend on him, because I don't know what their next move is now. Like, they're all in. They traded all these things. I don't think if they end up deciding that D'Angelo Russell is not the guy, if he does not prove it to us, I don't think they're going to get an equitable return. And so, like, a lot of pressure, I feel like, on D'Angelo this year.
If it fails, I know Gobert is going to get a lot of the finger pointing. Karl Anthony Towns is going to get a lot of the finger pointing. But the truth is, man, when you look at the top guys on that team, D'Angelo Russell is the lesser player of the four. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's the one when people are talking about, oh, where can they upgrade? That's the spot they start thinking about. And I think that, you know, for a young, he's still pretty young. I think this stuff matters. And you know, at this point, like, we know what he is as an offensive player. I think he can be better. And especially with Anthony Edwards kind of, I think he's going to be the main option on offense. I think he's going to have a lot more playmaking duties, and we saw him kind of grow into that bigger role. D'Angelo Russell is a guy off the ball, can potentially be dangerous. He's a good shooter, man.
Well, he's a great shooter, and he's a fantastic passer. Like he's not a selfish player. Like, the guy will hit an open teammate. It's just, is it the commitment on the defensive end? Is it just an all-around commitment to, like, I got to do the winning play each and every moment? I can't get caught up in, like, doing the ice in the veins. I have to be, like, the go-to guy at the end, just spreading the ball, because they have better – I think they have better options. Edwards and Cat are better options.
If he can cut out some of the early shot clock bad shots, I think that it will go, it will leaps and bounds toward their success. Next up on the list, New York Knicks, Julius Randle. I mean, he was the hero for him, Keith. And now he's fallen off. I mean, you can't find a trade home for this guy. He's a talented player, but he just hasn't been as good as he was in that season that he earned the big contract.
That all-NBA selection, it feels like the biggest fluke. And I know a lot of people were circling, like, hey, some of these maybe jump shooting stats are unsustainable. And it turns out that, in fact, was true. And last year, just such a dip for the Knicks, a disappointment for the Knicks. And I feel like it all fell on Julius Randle, where now people are, like, talking about him as having a terrible contract. And how's this Knicks team? They bring in Jalen Brunson, or are they going to trade for Donovan Mitchell? Well, guess what? Like, Julius Randle's not a piece of that, because he's not a positive value contract right now. So whatever the Knicks finish doing this offseason, you would think Julius Randle has a ton to prove, to show. I feel like we didn't plan this, but maybe we're emphasizing this quote-unquote winning basketball narrative too much. Maybe we're drawing too many conclusions based on just the team results that maybe these guys could not control. But it just feels like Randle, like, it kind of turned where everyone was like, you know what, I don't think I want that guy on my team. And I think a solid season of him maybe getting those results, like, could turn people's opinions of him. So I do, yeah, I think he's a fair inclusion on the list. Like, at least to me, Julius Randle has a lot to prove this year.
And, you know, we could have done this for an hour, but, you know, we only have a set amount of time. And so we have an honorable mention.
Yeah, we do.
And it's the Washington Wizards. It's the entire franchise. It's Bradley Beal. This guy, you know, he's got the huge contract. He's treated like a superstar player. You want to talk winning basketball? Now, again, Wizards, they've had a rough go of it, but I think that the front office has added some good pieces over the last couple of years. It just hasn't turned into anything.
And we got to include Porzingis. I mean, this is, you think like three or four years ago, like Porzingis and Bradley Beal were considered like two, maybe apex building blocks. I mean, we invented basically the term unicorn for Porzingis. And now it's like everyone looks at the Wizards roster. They're like, eh, are you excited about this? Who's excited about this? And so like the whole front office, top to bottom, the jerseys, okay, underwhelming. The entire organization, I think, has a lot to prove, Dave.
Even the young guys. How about Rui? Right. How about Denny?
Is Denny good? I have no idea. Is Rui good? I have no idea.
So it's a big prove-it season for the Wizards. Every Wizard season is a prove-it season.
Johnny Davis, prove something. Terrible at Summer League. Every Wizard, we're calling you out. Every Wizard. You know, Monte Morris, I trust him. Monte Morris, you have nothing to prove to me.
That's it. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore. Keith, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.